It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
And welcome back, folks. Hour number two of the program as we continue. And it is our great pleasure to welcome back a guest. Folks out here know him very well from being on the program so many times in the past and lending his expertise. And now at a very busy time for the Senate, it's our pleasure to welcome back and thank him so much for giving us some time this morning, State Senator Doug Mastriano. Senator, good morning. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Jay-Z. It's great to be back in the saddle with you, brother.
Oh, it is. I'll tell you what, this is when we got the back up and running, one of the first things was, I said, we got to get our good friend, Senator Mastriano, on board. And it's great to have you back. And as we said, that's the truth. It is a busy time right now, Senator, because you're in session. And I'm hearing, again, a lot of negativity as far as the budget goes. As a matter of fact, some big names in the GOP, including Joe Pittman, His statement was he does not see a path for the state budget to be in place by the end of the fiscal year. So, Senator, you've been around this maypole a couple times. Here we go again with this budget battle.
Well, brother, I mean, this is really on Josh Shapiro. He's not in the fight. His team hasn't been working diligently. It seems like it's always up to us. Last year, in my opinion, he was handed a win on the budget. And, I was urging folks to fight harder because he was going to be on the lineup for the vice president pick, which he was the pick, by the way, but the anti-Semites in the Democrat Party.
Yep.
Last word. But we handed it to him, and 2 weeks later, we could have squeezed him. So this year, he's going to have to fight for it. He's not going to get everything he wants. He's not going to get his $50 billion, which will bankrupt us. He's going to have to concede and water down his wish list.
Now, what are some, as you see it now, Senator, what are some of the problems that you see? You know, that's obviously one of them, what it's going to do as far as the debt goes. But what are some of the other problems with this budget as it is right now?
The biggest thing is he wants to expand the size of his government. He wants to expand the money being poured into public school without any results or accountability. Now, look, I graduated from public school, a middle-class family. In fact, the Republican Party is the face of the working-class people, not the Democrat people. The Democrat Party is the party of Wall Street. But, Jay-Z, so when we first met in 2020, you had me on, for the reopen movement.
Yep.
Pennsylvania then was the 12th biggest spender on education and 28th, so that's the bottom half, 28 out of 50 in output, according to the National Education Association. Since then, $1 or $2 billion more has gone into public education. So now we're in the top 10 most expensive, biggest spenders on public education. We're number 8 in the nation now. And you would think we'd be in the top 10, maybe top 20. Nope, now we're 32. So we're falling down with some of the southern states. And I don't know why the Democrats are so happy throwing money when they're not getting results. And, that's the problem with Democrats. They're becoming increasingly more like socialists. And as Margaret Thatcher said, the problem with socialists is eventually you run out of other people's money to spend. And that's where we are. So it's got to be cut back. It has to be responsible. It can't be throwing money around like there's no tomorrow, because there will be no tomorrow at this rate.
Exactly. And what are some of the other things there? I know there's something about legalizing marijuana and taxing skilled games of chance and the like, as far as that goes.
So, I mean, he's so desperate to find more ways to tax us into oblivion that these are just more examples of it. So Josh Shapiro's budget, he claims, will rake in $200 to $300 million, which doesn't even cover the $5 billion more he's looking to spend. So I don't know which planet he's living on, but it's not Earth. I feel like, Captain Kirk, on a remote planet. Hey, beam me up, Scotty. There's no sign of intelligent life anywhere. That's life with Josh Shapiro in Harrisburg. But so he wants to bring in recreational use of marijuana. Now, look, when Fetterman did his every county listening tour of legalizing marijuana, most of the arguments that we heard were for medical use. And that's already legal in Pennsylvania. You get your card from your doctor and you go to these thousands of dispensaries around the state and you get what you need. And so Josh wants to legalize it. So, and that's going to be our boom. That's going to bring in all this money. That's a terrible idea. And I'd ask people, secondly, to look at the states that have already legalized it. So, look, Colorado, Washington State, Oregon, New Mexico, and how's it going for them? Well, first off, all the money that the governors there promised to be coming in for more revenue for them to spend didn't happen. Number two, there's been a 30% in all five of those states, there's been a 30% increase in violent crime. And guess what? A 30% increase is a gateway drug because the content of cannabis these days is much greater than it was when you and I were in high school.
Yep.
So let me give you one more example, and you'll remember
sure.
this. I think it was 2005. The governor came out and said, hey, you know, all this money in gambling is in Atlantic City. Let's open up gambling in Pennsylvania here, and your property taxes will go away. How'd that work out for us?
Yeah. I'm still complaining about that one. You're right, because that was going to be the savior. That was going to be riding in on the white horse, and we saw what happened there.
Yep. That was going to be our panacea. That was going to cure all our woes and no more property tax. And we were lied to. And you just remember with Josh Shapiro, you know, I was a military intelligence officer for 30 years in the Army. And that whenever we got reports or claims from people, the first thing we do is consider the source.
Yep.
And so consider the source is Josh Shapiro, the same guy who was neck and neck with me in September of 2022 because I was winning on school choice and energy. If I was governor here, we'd just be raking in billions of dollars on our energy sector, by the way, here. We'd be rolling in money. But the other issue was school choice. And what did he do? He came out and he lied. He said, oh, I'm for school choice, too. And then as soon as he got elected, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He changed his mind.
He flipped. Yep. Now, you're dug in on this whole thing, but can we bank on the other folks being dug in on this one? Because I know there's you. We talked about some other prominent Republicans and the like. Because, again, as you said, we let him off the hook last time. I mean, you got to hold his feet to the fire this time around.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe we're going to have the resolve necessary to get concessions out of him. We have to have wins. You know,
right.
I know on four of the five past budgets that I was a senator on. And the one that I was a yes on was in 2022. And it was solely because we had a massive win on school choice out of Governor Wolf. And we had a win. My position is it's not good enough to say, oh, we held him here. We held him there. We trimmed here. No, we need to get some wins for our people. And it's not enough to say we held the line, because eventually you have no line to hold. That's one thing I love about Donald Trump. He's not defending. He's taking back, with the Department of Defense and pushing out DEI. He's taking back ground instead of just holding the line where we left it.
Yeah. Exactly right. Now, what happens though is this goes on longer, because again, it certainly doesn't look like we're going to make the end of the fiscal year. So, what happens the longer this goes on, Senator?
I mean, this won't be the first time. I mean, I was still in the Army when this happened. I think 2015. I can't remember when Wolf's first year in office.
Right.
However, that mathematically, I mean, it dragged on until December, and the media, the hacks in the Inquirer, and the left wing communist media reporters out there, they'll bash us and blame us. But in the end, that's outstanding. In the end, so what? Well, let's have a fight. Too much is on the line. Okay, there's gonna be some form of continuing resolution here to make sure schools can start in September. And we're gonna trim here and there, but having a formal budget, it might drag on. In the end, despite what the folks in the left-wing media will say in Penn Live, whatever, it's on Josh Shapiro's shoulders. It's him. He's offered up this Candyland budget. We said that's impossible, and so it's up to him to compromise. He's the one that has his hand in all our pockets here. He's going to have to give up some of his pet projects here. He can't have it all, because if he got it all, or even close to all, Jay-Z, we'd be bankrupt in a couple of years. Our rainy day fund would be empty next year, in fact. I mean, that's how quickly he just would spend all our money and then leave a crap show for the next governor to clean up.
Wow. Wow. Now, some good things coming out, though. I wanted to touch on some things that you have going on, Senator. We're speaking with Doug Mastriano, Senator from Pennsylvania. Your bill to expand overdose reporting is set to become law. If you can, take us through that, because I know that was a good one.
Yes, thank you. So Senate Bill 89 had its final vote yesterday. It came back from the House with some amendments, and the amendments actually made it better. And that was my bill. And so when the opposite chamber amends a bill, it comes over back to the originating chamber, whether it's Senate or House, for concurrence.
Mm-hmm.
So we voted unanimously in the Senate to concur on the changes made by the House to my Senate Bill 89. In the end, this will ensure, okay, let me we had a bad batch, you know, all of them are bad, but we had a lethal batch of fentanyl come into the county a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was appalled to find out that, all these people are dying or getting overdosing and coming near death. And we didn't have a reporting system in place here where the state police and EMS could identify, you know, a hot zone and surge assets there to save lives. You know, people get stuck in a cycle of addiction here, and it's just a darn shame that we don't have a modern system here reporting to identify hot spots so we could react more quickly. And so this is designed here to surge assets. So for first responders, police largely, and 80% EMS do the recovery of overdoses. That we have a system now in place. If when this bill signed into law, it'll be signed into law next week. That will ensure that we can quickly respond to, you know, hot zones of bad batches of drugs coming in and wiping out a community.
Awesome. Now, another one that I know you, along with the Senator Lisa Baker, have sponsored, it's a bill to enhance Pennsylvania's six state vets' homes. And you know from talking to us in the past, we are big supporters of our veterans here, man. We can't thank them enough, and that's why I picked this one out to talk a little bit about.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So we have six state homes, and I toured the one in Scranton, and it's the Gino Murley home. It's a beautiful home, and they do take really good care of the veterans, you know, and their spouses. And I think it's a beautiful way, you know, in the last years for some of these folks here that they get the care they deserve after sacrificing so much for our nation. But we wanted to clean it up a bit, you know, as far as oversight. You have to have oversight, and these people aren't making money. They voluntarily come together. And so it was actually Lisa Baker's idea that we include a family member of a veteran in a home as a member of the oversight committee. And so that passed unanimously. The House made some minor changes to it that actually made the bill better. I love how this is going here. And it passed unanimously on concurrence out of the Senate, and it goes to the governor and will be signed into law. So we'll have better oversight and closer touch with those veterans and their family members in the homes by having an actual family member present to speak on behalf of their loved one.
That's awesome. That is a great idea. So any other legislation or bills out there that we might want to talk on before, because we want to move on to the Iran situation and that situation in The Hague?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to talk about one resolution.
Sure.
That passed yesterday, and then one bill that came out of Judicial Committee. So we'll start with the bill out of Judicial Committee. We call it the Beagle Bill, and basically it ends the taxpayer funding of experiments on dogs and cats in Pennsylvania. So your taxpayer dollars are being used by various entities in the state here for unnecessary experiments, some of them the lethal kind. Come to find out, JZ, that 90% of these experiments have zero impact or use for humans. So what are we doing here? And so if experiments can continue, it can't be the torturous sorts. It guarantees that the cats and dogs will be given opportunity to be adopted in working with the ASPCAs of the areas or with the schools or clinics, you know, having their own adoption program. And it does make sense. We just need to end these experiments. So one of the first acts of Donald Trump actually was to shut down NIH's breeding facility that would produce, you know, largely beagles because they're nice dogs, would have breed beagles to send out to be tortured. And so Donald Trump's already leaning forward in this here. This is the third year I've had this bill. We finally got moved out of committee. We're going to have to make some amendments. We're making those amendments bricky tick, and we hope to get that moved out of the Senate as fast as possible. The last thing is a resolution, which I see comments on my Senate page. People really don't know the difference between, you know, bills and resolutions. Bills go on to be, you know, or candidates to become law when they go through the process. Resolutions are things that a chamber or the governor can do to recognize something, you know, with a strong voice. And so in 1782, in the midst of the American Revolution, we're running out of Bibles because the British had the copyright. We're at war with the British. The British had blockaded us. And so printer for Congress in Philadelphia, in Congress Hall, next to Independence Hall, was a man named Robert Aiken, was his name, a Scot, an American, Pennsylvania guy. And out of pocket, he published his own Bible, and Congress liked it so much that it was the only time in American history that Congress endorsed a Bible as well as paid for it to be distributed. And so I had a simple resolution as we're going into the 250th birthday of the Army, Navy, Marines, and next year our nation, that we should recognize this factual moment in history, declaring September 12th, the day of the Bible in Pennsylvania, because of everything I just said, a historic fact. And not one Democrat could bring themselves to recognize a fact an important day, a Pennsylvanian, a historic moment in our country. And I just question, you know, those who stick with their party on a Democrat side, what do your leaders really think about American history? I don't see how they extol or you know, generally love American history if they can't bring themselves, because maybe it's not politically correct, to recognize an important Pennsylvanian, an important moment in our history. There's a real problem here.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I don't get that, and I think that's great that you're doing that. And let's hope that gets some legs and moves on, because I think that's a great idea. We're speaking with Senator Doug Mastriano on our program this morning. Senator, obviously now I want to move on to of course, big story that's been out there now for the last couple of days and a couple of weeks, and that's the Iran situation. You have a military background. I respect you for that. I respect you for what you're doing now in the political end of things as well. But the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities, if you can, let's turn it over to your military expertise here. And if you can, take us through that, and a guy who has been in the military, in the barrel, as we like to say, your thoughts on the mission, and just take us through that, your thoughts on it.
Yeah, just so you consider the source here. So I'm one of a handful of Army officers that has a master's degree in air power from their, we call the Jedi School of Planning, the School of Advanced Air and Space Studies. It's a bona fide master's. Only one or two Army officers every year are invited to join that program at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. And I was blessed to be one of those to go through that advanced air power course. I'm an Army officer, but I have a master's degree in air power. And so so with that, I do have some experience with this. I'm not just speaking as a talking head that's, out there running around and just, my military credentials are not enough. I got more than that. But anyway, so we saw the Israelis, conduct a 12-day air war against Iran's nuclear program, as well as a decapitation program, where they were going out and taking out senior military officials in Iran. The leading nuclear scientists in Iran were eliminated, and anyone associated with Hamas in Iran, because Iran helped Hamas plan that October 7th attack, by the by, and as well as any senior leaders from the Al-Quds force and the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. That's based, Al-Quds is their special forces. And so Iran did a decapitation, and second was the attempt to destroy Iran's nuclear program. They destroyed most of the sites that they attacked, but they had a problem in Fordo, which was buried several hundred feet underneath the ground. Fordo fuel enrichment plant in Iran, outside of Qom, Iran, was where they had their most modern centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium. And those had the capabilities to weaponize the uranium. It has to be, right now, the Iranians, under the agreement with the international community, agreed to 60% enrichment, which is not good enough for weaponization, but we believe that they had the capability to expand beyond that and to weaponize the uranium. And additionally, the Israelis had troubles destroying completely the Natanz enrichment complex, and as well as the Isfahan complex. So what happened with us? So 125 American aircraft were launched, led by the B-2 stealth bomber. And we are the only nation in the world with this capability, with the GBU-57. That's an ordnance that weighs 30,000 pounds, dropped at 30,000 feet. So think about the weight ratio and the kinetic energy with physics. It's called a bunker buster, and it can go several hundred feet underneath the ground and not detonate until it reaches a certain depth. And so the preponderance of the 14 GBU-57s, which cost, by the way, $500 million each, by the way, is an expensive ordnance.
Yes.
But most, two-thirds of them were dropped at Fordo. And despite the fake leak from that traitor, whoever it was, taking a DIA report here, I believe, based off of the imagery, the unclassified imagery I've seen online, that we destroyed Fordo, and it set the Iranian nuclear program back by years. I believe we penetrated. I saw the holes in the ground. I saw the destruction of the buildings. I saw the report by the International Atomic Energy Agency saying that they detected radiation poisoning in the area. We took it out. And I can talk more about the compromise of intelligence in a second here.
Sure.
As far as Natanz, it's also a deep facility. I believe that we took that out as well. And Isfahan was eliminated by 30 U.S. Navy Tomahawk cruise missiles. So mission accomplished. It is done. Iran is not just set back strategically with the destruction of their nuclear program here, but all their proxies have been neutralized. Hamas is, in effect, destroyed. Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, another Iranian proxy, they're on their heels, because if you remember last year, the Iranians attacked the pagers, that you know, the pocket pagers that the leadership in Hezbollah had, and took out hundreds of their leaders. Syria, which was an ally of Iran under Assad, is now a Saudi ally with the takeover of the rebels that took over some months ago, and now the United States having trade with them. The last are the Houthis in Yemen, also a proxy of Iran, and they've also been debilitated here. So Iran is at its weakest point in, I'd say, 15, 20 years.
And I mean, you think about it, where they would have been, because President Trump was on his way to doing this in his first term with what he had, you know, done. Everybody but Iran was excluded, and their economy was tanking. And you think if what happened in that election, and we won't go into that again because you and I are on the same page as far as that goes. But so now he's got to undo those 4 years of just, you know, every wrong, and I mean very wrong decision that was made. What bothers me in this whole thing, Doug, is, and I said, I have so much respect for you and the military, at the very least, for them to be trying to spend, and they still are, CBS News is doing it, CNN, MSNBC, you know, trying to continue to focus on this bogus report. I think that's such a disservice to our tremendous military men and women who, you know, took part in this mission. I mean, I'm just amazed from the simple fact of refueling in midair, and that's probably the least of, you know, what was accomplished in this whole thing. It just takes away from what I think was a tremendous mission by some tremendous people in our military.
I agree. So I was military intelligence. I had top secret special compartmented information access, so TSSCI access, for 30 years. Had 7 or 8 background investigations. So this crappy Inquirer and Shapiro's team, you know, fabricated about me. It's just not there. I have files and files and files of background. I'm not a perfect guy, but there's nothing there that would disqualify me from having top secret access. But anyway, when you get when you receive a security clearance or have it renewed, you sign a non-disclosure, basically, and saying, if I compromise intel, I could go to jail for 10 years and pay a $10,000 fine. And so we need to track down any leaker of classified information, and they need to go to jail. I'm sick and tired of this, because yep, if I did that or any of my soldiers did that, they'd go to jail. They'd be court-martialed, and the key would be thrown out. But let me tell you something about the Defense Intelligence Agency, because this is the Natasha chick on CNN.
Yes.
Who peddles in disinformation, talk about disinformation. You know, the Russia, the Biden laptop. She was on the side of deep state every time, so it's not a surprise that she was the tool used. But I can guarantee you that DIA, I've had many clashes with them and debates. You know, I'm forward deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they have their cute little analysts come out and tell us that we have it all wrong. And they're in their, you know, air-conditioned bungalows in Washington, D.C., and I'm like, you guys are so detached. They had no clue what was going on. They had zero clue. I could tell stories. I'm not around this at a time. But I guarantee you that report basically said that, because they do intel speak. A lot of intel agencies, they don't want to give a hard answer. You know, I was trained to give my opinion, and I'll be right 80% of the time. Sometimes I'll get it wrong. But they're very careful. We're going to be like, well, we think it survived, and then later on report, it's destroyed. So you pick which assessment you want, because that's how they do it. And so Natasha picked the portion of the report, or the portion of the report that was on the weak side of the assessment. That's what she ran with, or she was a tool enough just to run with that. And so it was destroyed based off of my training of 30 years intel, looking, you know, my training with battle damage assessment, which is a bit of an art. And, you know, what we saw, and even the Iranian interior foreign minister admitted that the program was severely degraded. And so that means it was destroyed.
Right. And, you know, never one time did they say intel was low, you know, the low levels. They left that out of the report. And, you know, the fact that this is getting legs, I mean, you and I both know that, you know, the individual involved has been involved in so many of these misinformations. But the thing that bothers me is the people who don't do their due diligence and just hear it, because, again, it's almost that same thing, Senator, where we said, if you continue to say this over and over again, there may be some people out there believing it. Not you and I, or not some of the other people out there. And that's what concerns me. And somebody like that, I'm tired of all this going on. You know what I want to see now, Senator, and I'm sure you're the same way. I want to see somebody pay the price for this. You know, we're hearing about that. We're investing, but I want some heads to roll here finally.
Yeah, you know, Jay-Z, and you know, you had me on for the longest time when it was not cool to question 2020. And guess what? We were right.
Yep.
You had me on when it was not cool to question the shutdown or the COVID or the Chinese origins. And we were I was not wrong on any of those issues. And everything I've gone through over the past 5 years, I want accountability. The people are calling for it. So, you know, being out there and saying, yes, we're vindicated, that's not enough.
No.
Because when they were in charge, they were tossing people in jail in violation of the Constitution, in my view. It happened to a lot of J6ers here. And yep. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be consequences for those who leaked intel, those who peddled in disinformation, those who are undercutting our national security. There just needs to be accountability.
Absolutely. Now, the president had a big week with that, the situation in Iran and all. But I know another thing where we wanted to move on and talk about the Hague and the situation there and his performance. They called him daddy. The guy called him daddy. I thought that was great. And to see Marco Rubio trying to hold it together after that was just fabulous. But, I mean, he was hailed at the Hague. And it was so great to see that you get away from our negative reporting and the misinformation. I thought it was just great to see that.
The General Secretary of NATO, Mark, you know, from the Netherlands, you know, yep. called again. The context was basically things are chaotic and running out of control, and the international community is falling apart with Iran and Russia, and then daddy shows up, you know. And I know some of the reporters are trying to twist that he views the Europeans as little kids and he's the father. No, it basically is just saying we have strong alpha leadership, finally, which NATO needs. You know, it's a bit shocking what came out of the NATO summit in The Hague. This is an annual occurrence. It's a huge deal. All 32 nations came together, Jay-Z. And right now, the spending requirement to be a member of NATO is 2% of your GDP on defense. During the Cold War, it was 4%. You know, we had Clinton's peace dividend where they gutted out our military. They agreed, all the countries except Spain agreed to a 5% goal of GDP. I mean, what? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing what this man can get done. I mean, it's just, like you said, he's a strong leader and people see that in him.
It is amazing. And so we have 32 nations in NATO. And when you first had me on back in 2020, only 5 of the then 29 NATO nations were actually achieving the 2%, only 5. Since then, now we're up to 22 or meeting their 2% goal. And I'll take credit for some of that. I know Donald Trump really is the guy behind it. But when I was in the Baltics at the time, only Estonia in the Baltic region, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, the Baltic region, only Estonia was exceeding it. And we had Latvia and Lithuania lagging behind. Lithuania was catching up, but Latvia was like 1.3%. And I went in there and I was talking to the commander of their ground forces and of their armed forces. And I'm like, I got my soldiers missing anniversaries, missing birthdays here in your country for up to a year. Maybe families are breaking up in divorces because they're here defending your country and you're not even spending your 2%. And I had a German 4-star. He was a miserable, classic miserable German guy. He was like furrow eyebrows at Colonel Mastriano. I'm just like, get lost, you loser, because your country's no better mm-hmm. on spending.
Right.
And but they said, yeah, you're right, Colonel Mastriano. We'll take this back to the – and I did meet and speak with the prime minister as well. I forget his name, but it doesn't matter. And now we have 22, so two-thirds of the countries are meeting or exceeding the goal. You know, Poland is spending over 4%, Estonia almost 4%. United States, of course, we're 3.3%. United Kingdom is equal to us. Just go down the list. The naughty ones, though, I want to talk to Spain, you know, who reneged on the 5%, 1.2% of defense. So – Uncle Sugar, we're covering them. We're covering Luxembourg. We're covering Belgium. Canada should be embarrassed. 1.3%.
Yeah.
And you know, Canada and their criticisms of America. I love Canada. You know, I've lived there for a few years, but their political leadership are a bunch of hacks. They're riding on a free pass, bragging about their free healthcare on the backs of the American Defense Service members. We provide a security umbrella. We provide a nuclear umbrella. We keep Russia off their backs. You know, if we ever walked away from Canada there, it'd be a different ballgame with Russia on their heels.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of that, Senator, just to, you know, boomerang back a little bit, because I wanted to pick your brain on this. Senator Doug Mastriano is our guest on the telephone this morning on this Friday edition. The situation with Iran and what happened. You're not hearing anything, at least openly, from China or from Russia right now. I wanted to get your take on just exactly the silence kind of deafening because, let's face it, Russia and China, you know, do business with Iran. So are you surprised by that or what's your take on that whole, you know, how they're handling things?
Yes, the former president of Russia, Medvedev, he was Putin's puppet. So, you know, Putin can stay in power, kind of like Biden and Obama, in my view. He came out, said some, you know, BS about, oh, we're going to renew Iran's nuclear program. Good luck with that. And President Trump just mocked him because you're a has-been, get lost. Russia and Putin, they have their own problems. We're looking at hundreds of thousands of casualties from the Russia-Ukraine war. The Russians have lost thousands of armored vehicles, you know, scores of aircraft. Their strategic bomber force was attacked. About a dozen of their strategic bombers in Siberia were destroyed by Ukrainian drones. Are you kidding me? Russia can't do anything about it. And, you know, China, I got to admire, you know, I don't like their foreign policy here, but, you know, while we were spending trillions of dollars on losing wars and losing thousands of our soldiers, China was just making money. And they were buying allies in Africa and Latin America and just laughing all the way to the bank. And I just think they see this as another opportunity here. Let the Americans, you know, fight and do the dirty work here, and we'll just get rich on the backs of the American taxpayers. But that's a bit harder now because now daddy's in charge. And so we have tariffs on China, and China is going to have a hard time making money off us now with those tariffs in place.
I know the other thing that I like, because, you know, pictures are worth a thousand words, you know, results, you know, are there. You go back, and we touched on it at the beginning of our interview, the horrible, absolutely worst possible way you could have handled things in Afghanistan. And then you factor that into the exact precise way that we handled things, you know, in Iran. The just tremendous difference in those two things, I think, go a long way with Putin and Xi Jinping.
You're absolutely right. You know, peace through strength was Reagan's moniker. Donald Trump embraced peace through strength, and that's the effect. Your enemies will take a step back.
I just hope that these people can get the big, beautiful bill passed, Senator, because that's they keep saying they're going to do it. You know, they've made some revisions to it and all. But again, they got to realize the man won, and he won in a landslide, and he won in a way where, you know, he started out running against one individual. By the time it was over, he was running against somebody else. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. We didn't use one of those yet today, but you just can't make this stuff up.
You know, I'm heartened because Napoleon said never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. And watching the radicals like Bernie and AOC and all that continue to spout their anti-Semitism, their hate, their division among the party, I just let them continue to implode. And in fact, when, you know, Al Green got up to introduce, once again, his articles of impeachment, he only got about half of the Democrat vote, maybe only a third of the Democrat vote. So even many Democrats like, this is a losing game here. We have a country to fight for and an economy to save and people to uphold here. And they've been just so politicized, and they got away with it because of the media, you know, surrendering them, you know, NPR and PBS. You know what? You play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You know, we watched, you know, PBS play the left wing for decades, and finally it looks like they're not going to receive taxpayer money. Who would have known that USAID was a funneling site, a Ponzi scheme of sorts, to funnel taxpayer dollars, hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars, to Politico and other outlets. That's what I've read. I saw the list. And those same outlets were being used to attack me during my gubernatorial, Carrie Lake during her run in Arizona here. Do we have a RICO lawsuit, you know, position potentially? You can't use taxpayer dollars here.
No.
For a political end. And they did. The Democrats did it.
And, you know, you look at the Carrie Lake, you brought her up, Senator. Look what she found out about the Voice of America and what's going on there. I saw that presser where she spoke on that. It's just amazing what's going on. And we just can't have that.
Who would have known yet? Yeah. We knew something was wrong, but I didn't know how bad or how deep it went, Jay-Z.
That's the problem. And, like, when people think about it, even, you know, Trump made that remark way back when. He said he knew the swamp was dirty and deep, but just didn't know how dirty and how deep. And I'll tell you what, it is scary in some of these things when the stuff that's coming out right now that we're finding out.
Yeah, I agree. So we have this window of opportunity, you know. So we won the general election for president in November, but then in Pennsylvania, we had a seat vacated, the state Senate.
Yep.
It's like Trump won that seat by almost 16 points, and we lost it to a Democrat. Are you kidding me? Brothers and sisters, it's not time to sit back. Trump can't do this on its own. I can't do this on my own.
No.
We need to stay active. We can't. If we lose two more seats in the Senate, we become, in the state Senate of Pennsylvania, we become California. You look at the radical ideas the Democrats are putting out in the House and Senate, and Josh Shapiro as well, and we become a wasteland of left-wing policies and a place that no one wants to live. We're the last line of defense right now. We need a bigger majority than we have.
I don't want to see it happening, because look at our neighboring state. Look at New York, Senator, before we wrap things up here. I mean, that individual, oh, for goodness sake. I mean, wow. I do not. Go ahead.
We watched, you know, when I was a kid, Jersey was a Republican state, and there was the big exodus in the 70s and 80s out of New York City to the suburbs, and because the turnpike, you could easily get to work in New York City when that was a thing. And said, why'd you leave New York? Because of high taxes and regulation. But then why'd you bring those policies with you? So folks from neighboring states, when you come here, you're welcome. But remember why you're leaving Jersey or Maryland or New York. It's not because they're beautiful places and it's, you know, if you can make ends meet and property taxes are low. No, they're extremely high, and those are Democrat policies. So stop voting left and stop voting Democrat, because you're going to destroy our state and make it just like the state you fled.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. That's the key. Well, welcome in. But like you said, leave those policies, you know, where you found them, where you were leaving from. Senator, it has been a pleasure talking with you. I can't thank you enough, because I know you're busy as far as the Senate being in session. And your staff did, and yourself did a great job in lining this up. And I know for a fact we're going to be on board and getting you back on a regular basis. So I can't wait. Always like we do, though, if you wouldn't mind, my friend, you used to always leave us with a prayer when we had you on before. And we certainly like to keep that in mind. You talked about, you know, that bill with the Bible and the like, and we certainly like to end on that note. If you would grace us with that.
I would be honored. And I forgot we used to do that. Thanks for remembering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
God, I thank you for Jay-Z and his team that are a light in the darkness. We pray for our people in Pennsylvania to be bold and courageous and not to be weary, but to persevere. We pray for our nation, God, that you'll give our president wisdom, discernment, that you'll make us a great country again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Senator, great to have you back on board. We'll be talking with you again real soon. Again, I want to thank your staff. I want to thank you for making time for us. And as you always like to say, ending, keep up the fight, my friend. Keep up the fight, my brother.
You too, brother. Love you, man.
All right. Same here, my friend. Thank you so very much. Have a great day.
You too.
All righty. State Senator Doug Mastriano joining us on the program. And again, tremendous job, folks, because Senate is in session. And he was able to step away and give us some time here on the program. Class act, and we can't thank him enough. We'll be working on getting him back, that's for sure.